So in the series, number 9 is called sanctification. When he asked me to do sanctification, I said, Santa what? I know I read it in the Bible. I skip over it. I don't really pay too much attention to it. But I hear it. You know, I asked the song ministry this, hey, what's that song with sanctified? Can you sing that song? Maybe it'll get me going. But it's in songs. And people say, I'm sanctified. Don't you hear people say that? So I thought to myself, you know what? Maybe I need to take this challenge. Maybe I need to understand and stop skipping over the scriptures. So I'm only going to scratch the surface. It's deeper than what I'm going to talk about. You know, it's funny, I was with Ethan and Kevin Jr. today, and we were talking about sanctification, and these guys are pretty smart. I was like, whoa, where were you when I was writing my lesson? But they're, you know, the youngsters, you know, they're like Google. Ask them anything. So it's a topic, like I said, that I don't really pay too much attention to. And you hear it in songs. You hear people say they're sanctified. You know, going through this lesson, I thought about it. I said, sanctification is like a father having a son, and the son has the dad's DNA. And growing up, the interaction between the son and the father, even though the son looks like the father, as years go by, the son start to act like the father, start to sound like the father. And that's like sanctification, right? As you get to know God, look into God's word, you become like God. Not, you know, become like God, but act like spiritually. In the Bible, sanctification means to be set apart. And set apart for God's use and made more like Jesus Christ. It's a process that takes place in the heart that involves God and the Holy Spirit. It's a transformation that involves a person's outward lens. God is working on the inside, and it's showing on your outside or your behavior. That's sort of like, I'm just summing it up for you. So between justification and glorification, justification is, okay, I accepted Christ, I've been baptized, so now I'm justified. In other words, I'm declared righteous in God's sight. Now, glorification is when Jesus come back and take us to heaven. Sanctification is in the middle. And that continues until glorification. So it never really stops. It's sort of like your growth as a disciple. In sanctification, God and the Christian are both at work. Paul commanded believers in Philippians 2:12, it says, therefore, my dear friend, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. It is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. You might think you're a good person, you're a disciple. Oh, I'm doing great, you know, I'm following the script. Not about you. It's all about God's good purpose, and God has no bad purpose, so it's all good. So you notice Paul said, obey. That's your part. I need to obey in order for sanctification to take place. Sanctification had a lot to do with a Christian's obedience. But it's not something you can achieve on your own. Because for one, it don't start with you. It starts with him. It's actually a gift. Just like salvation is a gift, sanctification is a gift. And we do have a part to play. A part to take seriously, as it states, with some fear and trembling. Now, when I say fear and trembling, it's like, God's watching, don't strike me. Not that kind of fear. It's more like, take it seriously, that kind of fear, right? God is not. There's a scripture that says God take no pleasure in the death of human beings. He doesn't. So there's nothing to really fear in that sense, but to take it seriously. God's love for mankind all to be saved. So as a father desires to help his son to grow and mature, that's God's purpose and God's will for us. So when a Christian uses the word sanctification, they're more referring to a progressive work of God to make a believer more like Jesus. God's people are sometimes said to be sanctified because they are set apart for God's special purpose in this corrupt world. I think, you know, in Romans 1:1, Paul said, Paul was set apart for the gospel of God. So Paul was set apart for a special reason. Paul was consecrated to a future task, or specifically the task of bringing the gospel to Gentiles. And as Christians, we're consecrated or set apart for holiness. Our purpose is to be holy in a corrupt world so that we can win the world for God. In the Old Testament, talked about sanctification. In Leviticus 27, it says, consecrate yourself, therefore, and be holy, for I am the Lord, your God. It's funny, God, he's trying to tell you, I am the Lord, not you. Keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord who sanctifies you. So like I said earlier, God is the one that actually sanctifies us. We just go along with the process that benefits us, but fulfill God's purpose. So my three short points is, it is the Lord who sanctifies us. And then the second one is, what do I need to do? And then consecrate yourself. So it is the Lord who sanctified me. 1 Peter 1, verse 1, it says, Peter, as an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God elect, exiles scattered throughout the province of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who has been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with the blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. We see the Holy Spirit is at work within us to help us to be obedient. Naturally, we aren't obedient. You know, you look at a baby when they're born, you know, they just want to do everything that you don't want them to do. Stick their finger in a socket. So, we also know that Jesus' blood has cleansed us from sin, so we are considered righteous in God's sight. God uses his indwelling power of the Spirit inside me to convict me of sin. So sin bothers me. And that's a good thing. He uses the word to move me along, to remind me of what I should love, what I should hate, what I should desire, how I should speak. And he uses his church with the teaching and preaching of his word to move me along. We have the Spirit in us and is in interacting with us that also helps us along. So in addition, we are empowered by the Spirit. God has given us this tool for growth. You know, in 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says, we all who with unveiled face contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed in his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is Spirit. Sounds like the Trinity, right? Again, our growth, transformation, and maturity comes from God, and it is ever increasing. You know, sanctification leads to holiness, and holiness leads to God. Now, no one can please God without holiness, according to what the Bible says. Sanctification leads to maturity. You know, in Hebrews 10:29, it says, how much more severe do you think someone deserved to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctifies them? Now, we look at sanctification, and like I said, it's not something that I ponder on or even talk about, but the scriptures talk about if we trample on what God is doing, we trample on God's work, we need to be punished. It's a serious offense. It's sort of like, you ever put so much effort into something or so much effort into someone and they just brush it off like no big deal? Or maybe I didn't ask you to do that for me. You'd be upset, right? Think about God trying to sanctify you and help you to mature and grow. And you're just like, I'm living my life. I'm a Christian. I'm saved already, you know? So we see God is the one who sanctifies us through the Spirit and the blood of Jesus. Second point is, so what do I need to do? What do I need to work at sanctification if God already sanctified me? If I'm already justified, then what's the sense? That's how some Christians actually think. In 1 Thessalonians 4:1, I'm going to read down to 8, it says, as for other matters, brothers and sisters, we instruct you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. It is God's will that you should be sanctified. That is God's will that you be sanctified. And sometimes we pray, you know, God, help me in my thought. And, you know, I need to make the right decision. May your will be done. But then you do something else. Right? One reason we are sanctified is to please him, to please God. And in order to please God, you have to be faithful. You have to trust him. You got to listen to him. Bible says, if you're really my disciple, you hold to my teaching. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. John 8. So I have to live a certain way to please God, and I have to do it more and more and more. I'm tired. Tired of what? Tired of being sanctified? That's what we say sometimes. Oh, I've been a disciple 25 years. I'm tired. That's worldly talk right there. Only in the world, you know, you're on your job and you've been there 25 years. Yeah, I'm tired. I need to retire. You don't retire from sanctification. It never ends. In John 17, 14, it says, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world, any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you send me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them, I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. It's a whole lot of sanctification going on. So Jesus, we look at him as an example, right? Why does he have to get sanctified, right? He is giving us an example that I'm going to sanctify myself so they may be sanctified. That's a true partnership right there. That's a true parent being an example. Jesus knows we're in a flawed world and we're flawed people. And he asks God to cleanse us, to make us holy, right? So God declare me holy. But Jackie may not think I'm holy. My kids may not think I'm holy. My coworkers may not think I'm holy. That guy that cut me off and I was yelling at him didn't think I was holy. But we are sanctified and being sanctified. As a Christian, we are set apart in the eyes of God, no matter what other people say. We need to behave different than the people in the world. We stick to the truth that he has given us in the scriptures. Scriptures talk about we have to demolish arguments and every pretension that set us up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient. We see obedient a lot. That is a key part of sanctification, obedient on our part. God don't need to be obedient. We need to be obedient to the work that he's performing in us. It's not enough to read the Bible or know the Bible. I must live it like Jesus did. It sends a message to unbelievers that God is real. The Bible is true. I don't sanctify myself, but reading the word is an important part of my sanctification. If I can't live it, then I can't give it. Fellowship of the body of Christ is important for my sanctification. Doing everything I can to develop my biblical literacy. Sanctification is a process of the heart and the mind and everyday life. It's active daily transformation. In Ephesians 3:20 says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to his power that is at work in us. We need to ask God. We need to ask God to continue to sanctify us. And we need to go along with the program and not do what we want to do. God is the one who does the work of making us more like Jesus. And we participate in that work by a life and continually turning away from sin and demonstrating our faith in Christ by obeying God's command. The Holy Spirit plays a big part. When I think of the Holy Spirit, sometimes I'm like, is there spirit in me or not? Because you can't really tell. But in the moment when you're confronted with temptation, you listen to that voice and you'll know that the Spirit of God is in you. Funny thing is, if you feel you are not being sanctified, and that's probably a good feeling because it kind of gets you to think, hey, am I on the right track? Am I doing what am I supposed to be doing? But it's a good feeling, but what are you going to do with that good feeling? You know, are you going to respond to it? Philippians 3:12 said, not that I've already obtained all this. I have already arrived, or I've already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ has taken hold of me. Jesus took hold of you. What's your response? You need to take hold of him. Paul was a model of sanctified life. He didn't just cruise or shrink back. He had it hard. He was shipwrecked, stoned. He was put on a court. You know, people telling lies on him. And all this, and he still says, I press on. And that's the way we need to think. We need to press on. And you notice the reason why he pressed on, he says, I want to know Christ. Yes. To know the power of his resurrection and participate in his suffering. Become like him in his death. Yep, Paul died for Christ. But the key is he participated. And that's what we have. And during sanctification, we are participating. Sanctification is God's grace working through everyday means to do what I would be unable to do for myself, that transform me from what I now am into his likeness. And you may think you're not being sanctified, but think of who you were before you were a Christian. That's what helped me to know that I'm being sanctified, because I think of my past and I think about some of the things that I used to do. Those things bother me today. You know, I did that. And then you run into some people that you used to hang out in the past, and you're like, get away from me, dude. You know, hey, that used to be your buddy back in the days. you know, conversation was, but now you're like, I'm not into that no more. That's when you know you're being sanctified. You know, you hate what God hate, and you love what God love. I don't know if I'm running out of time, but I'm gonna jump around. So Reggie Coleman don't beat me up later. So in 1 Peter 2:12, it says, live such lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deed and glorify God on the day he visits. You may not think that you're doing God's work, you're being sanctified, but as you're being sanctified and you're obeying, you're doing God's work, you're helping God out. Because in the end, you know, someone wants to complain or you know, arbitrate, hey, God, I'm supposed to be in heaven. What are you talking about? I was a good person. Really? Not according to that Christian was trying to help you in your thinking back then, right? It kind of reminded me of that, the commercial with, was it Capital One with Charles Barkley? No, I'm not gonna think like that, but it just popped in my mind. It's like, you look at a Christian and not a Christian, but a non-Christian, and they're not believing you and they don't believe in Christianity, and then the end comes, and then they're like, oh man, I miss. And you're like, Charles Barkley, I told you there was a God. You wouldn't want to have to do that, right? So you try your best in your sanctification to help those who need to be sanctified to understand that this is a serious thing. It's real, right? My third point is, let me sum that up. Sanctification or sanctified people know and obey God's word as if God is speaking to them, encouraging for his good purpose. So, in order to be sanctified, we all have to, like the scriptures read earlier, talked about consecrate yourself. Now, consecrate yourself is sort of like a decision that we make, right? When you become a disciple, you made a decision, right? You made a decision to follow God, right? And that decision led to a relationship with God. So let me talk to those who have not decided to follow Jesus. If you're not a Christian or a disciple, Christian, disciple, same thing, should be anyway. I'm sorry, but you are missing out big time. The same power that raises Christ from the dead shoulda, woulda, and coulda be working in you. Shoulda, woulda, coulda been working in you. You're missing out. Imagine the creator of the universe is working with you. That's a personal relationship. Think about it. You get on your knees and you start talking to him and he start revealing things to you. That's a personal relationship. You deliberately and intentionally have to make a decision that you want to be a part of God. You want his spirit in you to guide you or guide in your sinful thought. I know I need it. You want Jesus in heaven interceding for you. Every time you mess up, Jesus is like, don't worry, I got this. He's good. Right? You want his people to love upon you. Don't we all want to be loved? You know, you're on your job and you just got to put up with the nonsense, and then you come here on Sunday and you just get a lot of love. Right? And you just get a lot of hugs. Right, D? A lot of love, a lot of hugs. And we need that. You know, Romans 6:2 was said, but now that you have been set apart from sin and have become slave to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness. And the result is everlasting life. There is a benefit. But if you want it, it's yours for the taking. It's free. You don't get stuff free today. Everlasting life is free. Can I say that again? It's free. All you got to do is have a relationship with God. It's like having a best friend, right? That's helping you to grow, helping you to be who you need to be. Don't hold your head down anymore, thinking you're not worthy. God wants you to be sanctified. God wants to make you holy. When we consecrate ourselves, we make a decision not to be like the world, but to be different, to seek God with all our heart. With holiness, no one will see the Lord. Or without holiness, that is, no one will see the Lord. What does that look like? He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. And all we have to do is believe, repent, and get in the water. That's Act 2:38. Believe, repent, and get in the water. Now, obviously, some churches don't believe you need to be baptized, but saved by grace alone, never once mentioned by the apostles or the patriarch. So you're saved by faith or grace, but the alone is not in the Bible. Church, we've been there, done that. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6:11, and what is it? And that is what some of you were. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. I've been there. You know, you heard Marcelo's story. He's been there, right? But we've been washed. We were sanctified. We were justified. It's free. Act 2:28-17. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sin and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. God has all the answers, right? Being confident of this, that he who begins a good work in me or in you will carry it out to completion until the day of Christ. God will never give up on any of us. He is constantly sanctifying us. Jesus said, my Father is always at work, right? I'm like, I need sleep. I need a break. I can't take a break from sanctification. I need to read my Bible every day, and I confess that I don't. But at least I listen to something spiritual. I listen to a message or something, because once you get outside, your mind is corrupted. Advertisement, especially if you love social media, you're in trouble. Because you ever heard of algorithm? Boy, if you like drama, they will send you thousands of drama. That's what algorithm does for you. If you're looking at spiritual stuff, they'll send you a lot of spiritual stuff, but then they don't like that. So they'll send you stuff that contradicts spiritual stuff. You see how the internet works? It pretty much works against us. So we have to be in tuned in the spirit. We have to be deliberately in our Bible, deliberately communicating with other like-minded people that have the spirit of God in them that may tell you something. Don't be prideful, right? Because that's where you're not being sanctified. You're not growing. When somebody's telling you something and you're like, I disagree with you. And then we come up with, well, it's okay to disagree. We agree to disagree. Not when it comes to truth. That might be with your opinion, but when it comes to truth, that agree to disagree stuff is out the window. We have to be humble enough to help each other to grow. That's a part of God helping us to mature, a part of sanctification, holiness, and we have to really take it seriously. Remember, God, the Holy God is at work in you, but you have to walk alongside of him. Listen and obey to the Father, who is able to transform you into his in the likeness of his Son, ever increasingly for his glory, not yours. Don't go around bragging that, you know, I'm a different person. Well, I tell my wife that, and she's like, I don't know about that. But, you know, she'll remember the sin that I committed 5 minutes ago. Right, Jackie? Jackie's like, why are you calling my name? In closing, I love you, honey. In closing, I just want to say, continue to be sanctified. Understand what it means. Do not trample on underfoot what God is doing in you. And if you're not a Christian, you're missing out on something awesome, not just now, but forevermore. May God be the glory.